Chapter 46, Tanya, Lessons in Tanya. So let me give you again an overview. And what we're talking about over the last number of chapters was, how do you do the mitzvahs in what's called lishma? Lishma means for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of Torah. How do you fulfill the mitzvahs in the most perfect way? How do you have a relationship with Hashem, with God, with our Torah, with our mitzvahs in the most perfect, in the best possible way? We're not talking here about a person. For us, we're not on the levels of the great tzaddikim of the previous generations, unfortunately. But for us, it's also good even to start to get motivated. Why should I do mitzvahs? And why should I take away time from my focus and my energies from living the life that's the regular materialistic life, or not even in a bad way, you know, the regular ordinary life that's involved with myself and my family and my community? Not even, doesn't have to be selfish. And why should I devote myself and have sacrifice for Hashem and for Torah? So that's what we're studying about in Tanya. And that's what the mystical part of Torah teaches us. It gives us the why, not just the what, right? Not just how to do it, but why should we do it? And we explained that last number of chapters, that there is energy that comes from Hashem. That energy is on two levels. We talked about the Sovev energy, the Memale energy, the two levels of Hashem, two levels of energy. And we explained that in order to receive the energy from Hashem that we need in order to be able to continue existing, we need to reciprocate. There has to be some action done by the creations in order to receive. Plain and simple, you want to get a paycheck? You got to work. You got to show up. You got to work. You got to put effort in. That is on a very practical level. You want a paycheck? You have to show up. You got to work. What's the work? The work is Torah, studying Torah, doing mitzvahs. That's almost selfish. It doesn't mean that it's not wonderful, it's not great, but it is sort of self-serving. Then we explain that, of course, based on the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, Gemara says that a person should worship Hashem lishma, for the sake of Hashem. That's what it says in the Gemara, that's what it says in the Mishnayos, the Mishnah, that's what it says in the Torah itself, worship Hashem just because. So the question is, how can you rise above, once you understand that the mechanics of receiving energy from Hashem is in order to help yourself, in order to bring energy into your life, and that's why we're doing Torah mitzvahs, then becomes the question, okay, how do you now rise even above that? And how do you do the mitzvahs in a way of just love for Hashem, just, you know, just because I want to make Hashem happy, make God happy? So we explain in the previous chapters again that there is the way that Abraham worshipped Hashem. There is the way that Yitzchak worshipped Hashem. There is the way that Yaakov worshipped Hashem. There is the way that Moshe worshipped Hashem. And as students and as children, students meaning we have their information and we have their methodologies that they have handed down. But more than students, we're children. We have their DNA of these great individuals, of these great, great tzaddikim. And that becomes part of us. These are our parents. So the way that Avraham worshipped Hashem is already inside of us. And Yitzhak and Yaakov and Moshe and so on. Moshe is the teacher of all the Jews. We may not have the DNA of Moshe, but we have the neshama of Moshe. The Gemara clearly says this, that each of us has a spark of Moshe's neshama inside of us. So this is, I've explained that the way of Avraham is Ava, love for Hashem. And we talked about the various levels of love, Avas Olam and Ava Rabba, and what is the difference between Avas Olam and Ava Rabba. And we spoke about the Ava of Nafshi Yivisicha, and then the Ava of Kibrod Ishtadla, four levels in Ava. We spoke about Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, which comes from meditation, contemplation. And we spoke about that's the way that Yitzchak worshipped Hashem. We spoke about Rachmanos, waking up and arousing inside of ourselves an intense pity and compassion for our neshama that has dropped from such a high level where it was previously before the neshama comes down into our body, and it comes into a body, and it comes into materialism and physicality, and then we heap abuse on top of abuse. We do things in our lifetime And even that are negative and that are affect the neshama and make the neshama feel uncomfortable, and how what a rachmanis it is on our own soul. And therefore, that should motivate us. That we said is the methodology of Yaakov, the Yaakov worship Hashem with a methodology of rachmanis, compassion, mercy. The Alter Rebbe explains until now, chapter 46, until the beginning of chapter 46, Alter Rebbe, all of these levels of work, and we talked about Moshe, not to forget about Moshe, where Moshe is Raya Mehemna, and the level of Moshe, who is giving each of us the energies to worship Hashem in that way. Not to repeat everything that we've, but the Alter Rebbe does say that all of these methodologies of doing mitzvahs and studying Torah and being a Jew and being committed, they all have, they're different in their in the way that you approach, but they all have a what's the common denominator? The answer is to bring out something that's inside, that's buried deep inside of yourself. In other words, the motivation might be the initial hook. The initial thought process, the initial meditation process might be different, but what they're trying to do, meaning whether we meditate and try to worship Hashem on the level of Abraham or of Yitzhak or of Yaakov or of Moshe or all together or parts of all three, the idea is to bring out our neshama power, our soul power that's inside of us. And the Alter Rebbe explains it's not that deeply buried, but it might be deeply buried. But at the end of the day, we all know we are materialistic. We all know that we are not, initially at least motivated by wonderful spiritual feelings. So if we are materialistic, we have to take the spiritual inside our spiritual depths, and we have to make that supreme. We have to make that raise that above our materialistic impulses and make instead that we should be motivated, we should be pushed, we should be excited by spirituality. So the Alter Rebbe says, yes, that's entirely possible. You've got it inside yourself already. You don't have to think of, you don't have to become new people. But at the end of the day, if a person is completely submerged in materialism, and again, it doesn't mean evil, it doesn't mean bad stuff, it just means materialism, the material world, then now you want to be motivated by spirituality. It's still difficult. So Alter Rebbe says that now, chapter 46, we're going to talk about another way of reaching a relationship with Hashem that is a pure, a spiritual relationship. And that way is to just be a mensch. Forget about, well, for a moment, put aside trying to wake up your neshama and trying to become a neshama person, a spiritual person, a soul person. Just think about being a grateful person, an ordinary human being, a mensch. Alter Rebbe says, and the mashal is, the parable Alter Rebbe gives is, if you have a king who is in his palace and he comes with his ministers and he comes to you, and where are you sitting? You're sitting in the dump and the garbage heap. And the king goes into the garbage heap, he goes into the dump, and he takes you off the dump. And this is not just a dump where people throw out recyclables. It's a dump where there's actually excrement and refuse and all kinds of smelly, smelly, bad stuff. And the king himself goes into the sewer, which is a better word. Alter Rebbe uses the word a dump, but this is a sewer, really. And he goes into the sewer, and you're stuck in the sewer, unfortunately. And he goes into the sewer with his uniform, with his clothing, with his fancy, king outfit, his royal outfit. And he picks you up out of the sewer himself. And he doesn't even send his servants to do that. And then he brings you into his carriage and he brings you back to his palace. And not only does he put you in some side room in his palace, but he puts you into his own throne room, his fanciest room that nobody goes into. And then he dresses you in fancy clothing and he washes you and cleans you off. And then he gives you a hug and a kiss. Boy, if you can imagine that Hashem does all this to us, then the Alter Rebbe says, if you can't have feelings of reciprocation, of intense gratitude, intense something, connection to Hashem, then you're not a mensch. Then, you know, if this is the easiest way. The Alter Rebbe uses the language, karov me'od me'od. This is very, very close. A person, now, what does it require? It requires thinking. It still requires thinking. You know, nothing happens by itself. It still requires that a person should stop what they're doing, think for a moment or more than a moment until you think through this whole process. And at least at that point, if you stop and think, then yes, you will think. So let's go through the chapter now. So that's the background, and that is the mashal, that's the parable that we're now going to unpack. We're going to unpack this parable in chapter 46. And again, we did pretty much go through it last week, but I think it's good to go through and unpack the parable more specifically. I don't think that I went through all the different stages. So again, let's keep in mind, what is the parable? So what is the idea? The idea is that that the closeness to spirituality is not something that now you have to be taking up your neshama power, but just act like an ordinary human being. We also said that's the one differentiation to keep in mind between this chapter 46 and the previous chapters. It's not that you're trying to wake up your neshama. Now, all you got to do is just have ordinary human gratitude, human recognition of somebody who's doing a favor to you. The second thing that we have to keep in mind is that this does require some meditation and contemplation. You can't have two thoughts in your head at once. So therefore, if you're completely involved in materialism, then how are you going to have a spiritual thought of any kind, even a thought of gratitude? You're in the middle of taking care of your own personal needs. You can't think what somebody else did for you. So you got to put that on the side. But also, we are going to be talking about how amazingly powerful this type of thinking can be. And we are going to unpack, therefore, this parable. Again, what's the parable? The parable is you got this individual and stuck in the sewer, in the garbage dump. The king comes himself, takes you out of the sewer, brings you into his palace, cleans you up, dresses you with new clothing, and hugs and kisses you. So we're going to unpack each of those parts of the parable. How does it work? Why is the alternate parable? This parable is precise. And let's go through the chapter now and see how Hashem actually does each of those steps for us. So, first, the Alter Rebbe says, let's find the screen, that there is a verse, there is a pasuk in the book of Mishle, and the pasuk in the book of Mishle, the verse says, "Kemayim apanim lepanim, kein leva adam al adam." Just as water reflects your face when you are standing in front of a body of water, the water is a mirror. So just as water is a mirror, so too the heart of man reflects the heart of man. And what this means literally is that if you see that somebody is doing something good for you, so as an initial, as a mensch, you should reciprocate. That's what Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, the author of Mishle, is telling us. Just as when water reflects a face and a mirror image, so too, if you see that somebody is being nice to you, be nice in return. Now, the Rebbe says, deeper meaning. Deeper meaning is, not only does water reflect a face, meaning you should be nice in return to somebody doing a favor for you, and you should reciprocate that emotion, that feeling. That's just a mental thing to do, assuming the guy is not an axe murderer, obviously. But assuming the person is a good, nice person, a person is your friend and is doing something nice to you, you should reciprocate. Why not? That's the mental thing to do. Now, the Rebbe says deeper. Just as water reflects a face, where does the face come from that's being reflected in the water? That's your face. That's the face of the person that's looking in the water, looking in the mirror. So too, when you see that somebody is acting in a certain way, you should know you have that emotion already inside you. And also the other way around, the way you treat somebody else, that's the way they're going to treat you. That's the way they're going to, your emotion that you show to somebody else, that is the emotion that is going to be reflected back. So the Rebbe says, so indeed is the heart of man who is loyal in his affection for another person. This love awakens a loving response. The way you treat someone else will also wake up, will also bring out, will also call forth a similar type of emotion. So the Rebbe says, this is the deeper meaning of this pasuk, this verse in Mishlei. Treat someone a certain way, and that will bring out, that will call forth a corresponding type of emotion, a corresponding type of feeling from that individual. And therefore, the Rebbe says, if we are going to take a moment and think about the way Hashem is treating us, so we should therefore recognize that we already have that type of emotion. Now, distinct and different from all of the methodologies of waking up inside of ourselves and making inside of ourselves a feeling for spirituality, which we previously said, it all previously in the previous chapters, we talked about getting a spiritual jolt of energy from our neshama, and how do you access it through this type of love of Hashem, this type of fear of Hashem, this type of connection and so on. That's how you wake up your neshama. That's how you access the depths of the spirituality that's inside you. Now the Alter Rebbe is saying the opposite. The worse off you are, the lower you believe yourself to be, the more you're going to love Hashem for how he is lifting you up. So it's actually paradoxical. In the previous chapters, you had to be spiritual to have a relationship with God on the level of lishma, the level of worshiping Hashem for the sake of heaven. Now you have to be low. The lower you are, the more you're going to be grateful, the more you're going to be appreciative, the more you're going to be in awe. Why would God take his time and give me a mitzvah? I'm so low. So the Alter Rebbe says, you got no excuse. If you're high, look at the previous chapters, if you're really spiritual. If you're low, then this is a chapter. Then this is what you got to do. Just think for a moment. Again, it does require thinking. You can't just, nothing happens by itself. But a little bit of thinking, then you're going to have. So let's get, as we said, unpack the parable. So the Alter Rebbe says here that the angels in heaven say Kedusha. What are the angels in heaven saying? The angels, Alter Rebbe says, first of all, the parable said that the king is coming with all of his ministers. Who are his ministers? Angels. Alter Rebbe quotes the Gemara. Is there any numbering of regiments? There's thousands and thousands of angels, 10,000 times 10,000 stand before Hashem. So many angels, so many spiritual beings that Hashem could, you know, in a manner of speaking, spend his time with, direct his attention to, be involved with, is angels. Hashem has plenty of angels that he created. He created us, he created angels. Hashem could choose to spend time with his angels. Yet we find, what do the angels say? The angels ask, and this is the Kedusha that we say in our davening, the part of our davening was a response of reading the Shemona Esrei. You may be familiar with the Kedusha. So the Kedusha says what the angels say. And we say this in the morning davening also before reciting the Shema. The angels say, Aye Mekom Kavodo, where is the place of his glory? Meaning they recognize that Hashem's attention is not with them. The angels themselves are asking, what's Hashem busy with? What is God busy with? What is God, where is his attention? And they answer, Milo Chal Aretz Kevodo. The word, the earth, physical earth is full of Hashem, meaning Hashem put his attention not by us, but by the Jewish people in the world, in Aretz, in the world, in the physical world. Because as in the language of the Alter Rebbe, the Holy One, blessed be, forsook the higher and lower creatures. Those are not the ultimate purpose of his creation. He chose Israel. He chose us. And Hashem brought us out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. Previously in the parable, we said that the king goes into the sewer, and the king himself goes into the sewer. He doesn't even send somebody else and takes this person who's in the sewer and takes him out himself. As it says, that Hashem did not send an angel to go into Lo Yedei Malach. Hashem didn't send an angel to Egypt. Hashem, the slaying of the firstborn, Hashem did it himself in order to take the Jews out of Egypt. And the Alter Rebbe quotes a verse, I have descended to save him from the hands of the Egyptians. This is what Hashem told Moshe to tell Paro. And then Hashem brings us into his palace. We said before that the king brings this person into his palace and hugs and kisses this person who he saved previously was stuck in the sewer, in the smelly, smelly sewer. Hashem hugs and kisses us as the king hugs and kisses. The Alter Rebbe translates, what does it mean to hug and kiss? Nishikin, which is kisses, is the speech of Hashem, is Torah. Torah has two levels. Torah has a level of speech that we talk about. Let's go into what the Alter Rebbe says here. Nishikin is a kiss, and then there is dapkus rucha berucha, which means the fusion of spirit with spirit. A kiss on the mouth is also a mingling of the breath. That means that not only is there a kiss, which is connected with the mouth, the Alter Rebbe says this is a mashal, it's a parable for speech. Not only does Hashem tell us and give us information, which is what our Torah is, but we have the ability to internalize that information. We have the ability to take the Torah and to understand it. What that means is that there are aspects, even in Torah itself, there are aspects that we simply don't understand. We accept. There are concepts in Torah that we don't understand. But then there are many, many, many concepts in Torah that we actually can get excited from because we deeply do understand them. We deeply do appreciate them. On a human level, we get excited. The concept is an amazing concept. We can explain it to ourselves and to other people. And this is the two levels the Alter Rebbe is talking here in this parable of Nishikin, which is a kiss. That's simply an exchange of a mouth-to-mouth exchange of the parable, it means information. But then there's Istafkas Rucha Barucha, a deeper level of actually having unity of mind, unity of understanding, actually us becoming not only the shlubs, as we say in Yiddish, that we were before, but we become oiske edel. Oiske edel is a Yiddish word that means we become refined. We become, our mind starts to think differently. Our mind starts to understand the world differently. So Hashem has given us, and the Alter Rebbe says, just as the king has kisses this person that was previously in the sewer, Hashem kisses us on these two levels. Not only does he give us information, which itself would be amazing, that God should give us humans information, share stuff with us, share, you know, his thoughts with us, but we can actually become somewhat divine ourselves. We can become spiritual on this level, that we ourselves can have our mind recast, remade, our way of looking at the world, our way of thinking, our way of thinking about ourselves, our way of thinking about our family, our children. We become different. We become spiritually motivated. We become spiritually powered people. So this, the Alter Rebbe says, is the fusion of spirit with spirit, the comprehension of Torah, not only the knowledge and the knowledge of his will and wisdom, which is the lower level, but we have this ability to become different people. The Alter Rebbe says there also is the concept of chibuk, the concept of hugging. And what is the king? We said before, the king hugs the person. What is hugging? Hugging is the mitzvahs. The mitzvah is an external act, something that we do with our body. The Zohar actually says, and Alter Rebbe quotes here, that the 248 positive mitzvahs. There are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Of the 613 mitzvahs, 248 are positive action mitzvahs. 365 are things that you're not supposed to be doing. So these mitzvahs are considered to be the organs of the king. 248 evarim, the Gemara says, we have 248 organs, whatever that means, whether it's bones or parts of the body. And we have 365 sinews, veins, whatever that means. But this means the body. So what, just as a body is a mechanism for interaction with the spirit, how do you interact? This is beginning of Tanya. Alter Rebbe has already spoke about all of this concept that the mitzvahs are considered, and we're going to talk about it still later in later chapters too, that this is, that the mitzvahs is, it's a, today we would say an exoskeleton, is the language that they use today. In order to interact with a spirit, you need a body, right? You can't just interact with the spirit. Spirit and spirit is wonderful things, but how do you interact? So you have an exoskeleton, you have a body, and the body is what is powered by the spirit, and then you can interact. So Hashem also wants that we should be interacting not only with him, but we should be interacting with his creations. We should be elevating his creation. So Hashem therefore puts on a body. What does it mean, puts on a body? God puts on a body? Yes, Hashem gives us 613 commandments. And those commandments are the way that we interact with the divine. That is, in a manner of speaking, a body. Just as you need an exoskeleton, or you need a skeleton in your body to interact with the spirit inside, that's how we interact. So the Zohar uses, this is a parable, this is a mashal from the Zohar. The Zohar says that the mitzvahs are Hashem's body, and every time we do a mitzvah, we hug Hashem, and Hashem hugs us back. That's what it means. Interacting with someone else's body, it means you're hugging them. They're hugging you, you're hugging them. So this is amazing, the Alter Rebbe says. Just previously, we were in the sewer, we were in Egypt. In Egypt, Alter Rebbe told us, was Ervas Haaretz. It was the worst place in the world, morally and spiritually. Why was it the worst place? No matter other places in the world, they were doing bad stuff, more immoral acts. But in Egypt, they were doing bad stuff on the spiritual side too. That was the place, was the most black magic, the most idol worshiping, all kinds of corruption, corruption on the physical, corruption on the spiritual, corruption on the mental, on the emotional, completely corrupt on every level you can only imagine. Hashem takes us out of Egypt, which is in the language of the Gemara, it's called Ervas Haaretz. In the language of the Chumash even, it's called Ervas Haaretz. The Alter Rebbe quotes, the Yosef's brothers come down, and Yosef accuses them of wanting to see Ervas Haaretz. So that's actually a quote from the Chumash, the nakedness of the land of Egypt, which literally means you want to be able to find out how to conquer Egypt. But the Gemara says that's a literal statement. It means Egypt is a very terrible place. So Hashem takes us out of Egypt. And the Egypt that Hashem takes us out is not just the Egypt in the past, but the Egypt of every single day. Every single day we have limitations, we have problems, we have issues. And every single day Hashem is there commanding us. And Hashem is there giving us this pep talk called the Torah, giving us this energy called the Torah, giving us this close relationship called the Torah, and giving us a hug, and giving us a mitzvah, and every mitzvah is another hug. And we can hug Hashem back by doing the mitzvah. And we can enter that embrace by doing the mitzvah. So the Alter Rebbe says, if a person, just be a mensch, and just stop thinking about yourself for a minute, think about what's really happening, take a look at this friend, with a capital F, this divine friend, which is God, Hashem, who is going out of his way. And he could be spending time with the angels. And instead he's spending time with you. And instead, man, he could be leaving you in the dirt or just telling you what to do and not himself taking you out. And instead he's taking you out himself. So, I mean, could you get better than that? Then the Alter Rebbe goes further and it says, every mitzvah that we do, we make a bracha. And the bracha that we make says, Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav, that you have made us holy. The Alter Rebbe says, and we spoke about this last week, the Alter Rebbe says, it's not just making you holy, it's making you special to me. making you special to me. What is a wedding? What is a marriage? A marriage is just not making you, I'm not calling you just my wife. I'm not calling you my husband. I'm not calling you that we're just not calling you a relationship. No, we're special to each other. We're unique to each other. We are dedicated to each other. There's nobody else. That's it. That's our relationship. And Hashem says the same thing. I'm not choosing anybody else, just you Jewish people. And you Jewish people, I'm choosing to have this relationship with you. That not only were we low, not only did Hashem take us out of Egypt, not only did Hashem give us methodologies of interacting on a very close level, which we said was the Torah and the mitzvahs. But Hashem has said, no, I am unique to you. You are unique to me. Asher kedishanam mitzvosav. This is the same language, Alter Rebbe says, as a language used in a wedding. Harei ad mikudeshesli, you are unique to me. I am unique to you. And this is what it says actually in the Torah, in the beginning of the Chumash, when Hashem creates Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, Hashem says, V'davak v'ishto v'hayu l'basar echad. They shall cleave, a man shall cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Exactly so too, the Alter Rebbe says, is a relationship we have with Hashem, that we become spirituality. The spiritual union and is even greater than the physical union. The physical union, so what does it really mean? V'davak v'ishto v'hayu l'basar echad. Cleave to one wife, there shall be one flesh. So what does it mean on the literal level? It means you'll have a child. And the child is a combination of the DNA of the matter of either the father and the mother. And that's the one flesh. But it's still not one flesh. It's still not the husband and wife are still two separate people. You have produced one flesh, but you're not one flesh. So on the physical level, you know, it's as close as you can get, but it's still not the same as actually being one. On the spiritual level, however, Alter Rebbe says, you can actually be one with Hashem. Again, because of our neshama, because the neshama, the soul that Hashem put inside of us, and because the concepts that we're talking about are spiritual concepts, they don't take up place. They don't take up space. They're not separate one from each other. And therefore, the union with Hashem that we can have through Torah and mitzvahs actually is becoming one with the light of the blessed Ein Sof, light of Hashem's limitless energy. Therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, peace unto him, say in Shir HaShirim, that the union of God and the Jews is just like the union of a bridegroom and a bride, husband and wife, chasan and kala, bride and groom. This union is an attachment on an external level. It has a longing and a desire, and it is embracing and kissing. As a matter of fact, in Shir HaShirim, we talk about this, that I brought you into my chamber, my bridal chamber, I hugged you and I kissed you. These are all parables for the levels of connection that we spoke about with Torah and mitzvahs, the various two differentiation between the Torah, which can be understood and also internalized in the mitzvahs that are considered Hashem's embrace, Hashem's hugging us. And this is what it means, that the concept of Kedusha, as we just said, means to be separate, to be unique, to be uniquely chosen. And this is the concept, the quality of Sovev Kol Almin. So ultimately, through doing the mitzvahs, we introduce into ourselves and into the world around us the unlimited level of energy that's called the Sovev level, the unlimited level of energy. In the world itself, there is the pipeline that Hashem puts in of energy that is limited. It's according to each level. But by fulfilling the Torah and mitzvahs, we create this seamless connection between ourselves and Hashem, and we are able to introduce the unlimited level, the Ein Sof level. Through the union of the soul with absorption and light of the Ein Sof, it attains the quality and degree of holiness of blessed Ein Sof. Since it unites itself with him, it integrated and become truly one. This is the meaning of the verse, that you shall be holy, for I am holy. You and the Torah further goes on, and right in the Chumash it says, "V'avdil eschem min ha'amim, I have separated you from the other peoples, that you should be mine." And this is exactly what we're saying here. Another verse it says, Alter Rebbe quotes, "You shall fulfill all my commandments and be holy to Hashem." And this is what it means. Through doing Torah mitzvahs, we are. Hashem becomes our God in the same way that Hashem was Abraham's God and Yitzchak's God. And why were they called Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak? Why was Hashem called the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, not the God of everybody else? What's so special about the relationship that Abraham and Yitzchak had with Hashem that Hashem calls himself in the Torah the God of Abraham and the God of Yitzchak? And the answer is because the patriarchs were a vehicle. In the language of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe uses this as an extension of Hashem's will. They did not have any desire of their own. They were completely, whatever Hashem wanted, they were there. They were like the hand to the brain. Whatever the brain wants, the hand does right away. Whatever Hashem wanted, that's exactly what Avraham and Yitzchak wanted and did and fulfilled. No hesitation, no separation, completely, as we said, seamless. And they were nullified, absorbed with light. So too, we're not on that level, clearly. But at the moment that we're doing the mitzvah, we are on that level. The soul of every Jew at the time he is occupied with Torah and commandments. When a Jew actually does the mitzvah, the Alter Rebbe says, there's no difference between us and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We are at the moment of doing a mitzvah, the moment of studying the Torah. If we are folk, if we're simply having a little bit of consciousness and awareness, in that moment, we are just as connected with Hashem as Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did a mitzvah. We did a mitzvah. As I mentioned to you, past the story of Mendel Futifas, who walked into the store in Manhattan, and the Rebbe said to put on tefillin, and with Jews and help Jews put on tefillin. He didn't speak English, but he wanted to, you know, carry out this directive of the Rebbe. So he walks into a store and he says, "You Jew?" He says, "Yeah." Person says, "He says me Jew, me tefillin, you tefillin," and he put on tefillin with the guy. So at that moment, this individual putting on tefillin, who only didn't understand more than two words of English, but he put on the tefillin. He obviously knew what tefillin is. And that moment, a person is doing the mitzvah, you are just as connected as the greatest tzaddik ever was. That's it. You did the mitzvah. Now, of course, there is levels of understanding, and there's levels of meditation and contemplation, and what are you doing and why you're doing. But in the act of doing, there's only one way to do it, and that's to do it. So when you're doing the mitzvah, that's the hug. There's no other way of being hugged except being hugged. The Alter Rebbe previously said in Tanya that if the king is wearing 5 garments or 10 garments or 20 garments and is hugging you, or if he's wearing 1 garment and hugging, you're hugging. If you're hugging, you're hugging. So if you're doing the mitzvah, you're doing the mitzvah. So Alter Rebbe says, when a Jew occupies himself with Torah study, performance of commandments, he is totally nullified, absorbed in Hashem's energy. The only difference is that the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, were constantly on that level. Us, we're not constantly on that level. Let's not fool ourselves here. But, I don't even know if it rises to the level of fooling ourselves. Let's not, think that we're Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov here. But we do have the ability to rise to their level. And that is, depending on us, how constant that will be. Will that be for a moment? Will that be for an hour? Will that be for 3.5 hours, whatever it is, 24 hours, we have the capacity. Just all we got to do is follow the program. Therefore, the sages of blessed memory made it obligatory to rise and remain standing in the presence of anyone who was engaged in fulfilling a commandment, even if that person is uncultured or illiterate. And specifically, the Torah said, the Mishnah says, when a person is performing a mitzvah, such as bringing the Bikurim, the first fruits, to the Beis HaMikdash, one must rise. That is because in that moment, that individual is hugging Hashem. Hashem is hugging them. God is in embrace with that individual at that moment. And therefore, there's incredible holiness there. The only problem is we don't feel it because we are too materialistic. If we would not be as materialistic as we actually are, if we would be on the level of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in our appreciation, in our sensitivity for spirituality, and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov saw spirituality, they felt it and they saw it and they recognized it, we don't. But if we would be on that level, we would recognize what's going on exactly as Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov recognized and felt. And that's, of course, they were motivated 24 hours a day on that level. This, the Alter Rebbe says, is what it says in Tehillim, in the language of Asaph, who was one of the authors of Tehillim. It says, I am foolish and know not. I was as a beast before you, yet I am continually with you. What this means, the Alter Rebbe says, is even though I don't feel it, even though I don't have this ability to actually see the spirituality. Imagine yourself radioactivity. You know, a person says, I don't see radioactivity. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you see it or not. The radioactivity is there. Boy, are you going to, you know, radioactivity is a bad thing. So boy, are you going to feel the effects. Well, the same is true on the spiritual level. The spirituality is there, whether you see it or not. So Asaf, the author of this chapter in Tehillim, says, I'm absolutely clueless, but I do know that, Hashem, you are embracing me. And I do know that the spirituality is there, although I don't feel it. Obviously, Asaf is speaking for us. He felt it. This means that even though I am a beast, well, I am with you. And again, in Tanya, we always say that the word beast means a person that is acting instinctively, as opposed to acting out of a sense of deep understanding. And even if you're understanding, but if your understanding is incomplete, then that's the difference between a beast, an animal, and a human. That's why the Nefesh of Bahamas, the animal soul, is called the animal soul, because it motivates us through emotional pulls, emotional pushes, and emotional urges, as opposed to intellectual urges. So this is, even though I am acting emotionally, doesn't matter, I'm acting. And because I'm acting, I am connected. So the Rebbe says, my soul being unaware and insensitive to this union, which is achieved through performance of mitzvah, in reality, I should sense it. I should have a sense of love and a sense of awe, which should bring down fear and awe, followed by love and so on and so forth, like the tzaddikim. For as is known, the Alter Rebbe says that the all of these levels which culminate in this level of called das, or the 10 sephiros, which we have spoken about many times, the progression of energies from level to level, I should be able to sense all this stuff. I don't sense it. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. The corporeality, the physicality of the body does not prevent the union. As we said before, that a king who is hugging us, doesn't matter how many levels of clothing he's wearing. Even if there is all kinds of materialism blocking us from understanding and from feeling Hashem's union, Hashem's closeness to us, Hashem's hugging us regardless. Even though we're so stuck in materialism, so stuck in our own box, in our own physical world, it still does not prevent the neshama to be connected with the blessed Ein Sof, who fills all the worlds. As it says here in the note, corporeality, materialism can only prevent the soul from being conscious, but it cannot stop the actual objective. It can stop you from realizing what's happening, but it doesn't stop the effect of what's actually happening. As it is written, even darkness cannot obscure you. Accordingly, since as above, every Jew who performs a mitzvah is granted the unity and sanctity of supreme holiness, even if he doesn't perceive it, which a tzaddik does perceive. Now you'll be able to understand what happens when a person doesn't do the mitzvahs properly or does a sin. Alter Rebbe says, for example, transgressing prohibition of work on Shabbos, eating leavened bread on Passover. This same severe punishment applies equally to the highest tzaddik, the coarsest boor, where either of them transgress. And the reason is, even if the soul of an uncultured, completely illiterate person shines a light in the sanctity of Shabbos, he ends your face cap for a car for eating leavened bread. This is, the Alter Rebbe says, it's the same Torah. This concept is we all have one Torah. The laws of the Torah apply equally to all Jews. I Jew, you Jew. I Torah, you Torah. I Shabbos, you Shabbos. I kosher, you kosher. It doesn't matter, the Alter Rebbe says. The person says to himself, the Alter Rebbe is saying, now I'm not a tzaddik, so what's the difference? The answer is, when you do the mitzvah, you have the same closeness to Hashem as the greatest tzaddik. Your closeness, your hugging, Hashem hugging you, is no different. The only difference, as we explained, is whether you're conscious, whether you realize it, whether you're aware. But the hug that Hashem gives you is the same. If you do a sin, therefore, it doesn't matter that you're on a low level. We say, it doesn't matter for me, I'm not religious anyway. It doesn't matter, Alter Rebbe says. I'm sorry, Alter Rebbe says, my dear Jew, You are a Jew, just like the tzaddik is a Jew, and therefore the negative effect, just like it affects the tzaddik negatively, affects you negatively too. So this is, you know, a 1-2 punch here. You do the mitzvah and you become extremely close. You do a sin, and it's exactly the same effect as when a tzaddik does a sin. And the answer is, because the reason is because we're talking about our neshama here. We're not talking about our body. Our body, it might not be recognizing and feeling, but our neshama definitely does. Our soul definitely does. Now, why does it say behemos lashon rabim? Why does it say, from all the above, it becomes eminently clear that although a person may not feel the sanctity brought about by the performance of a mitzvah, so much so that he's likened to a beast or an animal, nevertheless, through performance of the mitzvah, this animal is unified with God to the same degree as the greatest sage, indeed, and same degree as Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. This is what it says, I was as a beast before you, yet I am constantly with you. The Rebbe now goes on to say that there is a reason why this is likened to a plural. It says, I was as behemos, as beasts, in the plural. This tells us that the performance of a mitzvah on the level of a beast is related to a spiritual level which transcends comprehension and feeling. I said before, that the level of beast is not in the realm of comprehension. It's something that is higher than this. Two levels of beast. So let's take a look in the last few minutes that we have here. There is the concept of the plural form of beast. This intimates that in the highest levels, before him, even Das Elyon, the highest levels, which comprises Chesed and Gvura, is like beasts in a physical creation. The Alter Rebbe explains to us that even in the spiritual worlds are still don't get the entirety of Hashem's presence. The Ein Sof itself, the entirety, unity with Hashem, even in the spiritual worlds, you're not going to get that. What that means is, as long as there is any sort of creation, even if the creation is the highest level of angels, it's still not essence of Hashem. It's still not Hashem's essence. Where do you find Hashem's essence? Hashem's essence is found in Torah mitzvah. This is what we previously said in the chapter. The angels themselves say, Ayin mekom kvodo, where is Hashem's presence? And they say Hashem's presence is ba'aretz, in the world. Meloch hala aretz kvodo, the world is full, the aretz, the world. And the language, the word of aretz, which means land, world, also the Alter Rebbe explains to us, comes from the same, or is related to the same letters in the Hebrew language as ratzon, which means desire. And what that, and this is actually a statement from the Gemara, that the land of Israel is called Eretz Yisrael, because that's the place that Hashem really wanted, and that's the place where the mitzvahs are really binding and can be completely fulfilled. Many mitzvahs cannot be fulfilled outside of Israel. So Eretz Yisrael comes from the word ratzon, that's what Gemara says. And the Alter Rebbe tells us here that there is levels of being an animal. Even if you're an animal, which is the animals of the angels, you're still not as, and therefore you are not completely unified with Hashem, because at the end of the day, you're still a creation, even if you're a very high creation. The Alter Rebbe says, you Asisa, there it's the highest levels is still in action, something that Hashem did. Even Hashem's level of Chachma, the highest level of the 10th Sviros, the highest one of all the four worlds, the world of Atzilus and the Chachma of Atzilus, the highest level of the highest stage is still considered to be as if it's a physical act thing. So where do we have unity with Hashem? We have unity with Hashem and doing Torah mitzvah. So the Rebbe says that's the wraps up the chapter. The Rebbe says, take a look. Hashem takes us out of the sewer, which was the land of Egypt. And it's not just the Egypt of then, but it's the Egypt of today. Our own personal sewer, our own personal issues, all the issues that we have. And Hashem lifts us up. Where does he lift us up? He lifts us up higher than the angels. The angels are still called behemoths. They're still called animals. We can be lifted up higher than that. And Hashem hugs us. He gives us mitzvahs, which is a hug from God. And we hug Hashem back by doing the mitzvah. And at the moment that we do the mitzvah, we are on the same level as the greatest tzaddik, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Just like they did, we did. It doesn't make a difference. You do the mitzvah, you do the mitzvah. The difference is the awareness. The difference is the appreciation. Yes, of course, that's a huge difference, not to be trifled with. That is not to be forgotten. There actually, yes, is a huge difference. But in action, there is no difference. In action, in the action of the hug, in the receiving of the hug, in the giving of the hug back to Hashem, there is no difference. Our mitzvah and Avraham Yitzchak's mitzvah is exact same hug, same mitzvah. And then we have kisses. Hashem kisses us. How does he kiss us? He kisses us, which means a parable for teaching us the words of Torah through his mouth, and then allowing us isdabkus rucha barucha, which means unity of breath with breath. It's not just a kiss, but it's a deep kiss, a unity of breath with breath, which means, Al Rebbe says, is a parable for allowing his way of looking at the world, his way as understanding, Hashem's understanding and appreciation of reality, to become our appreciation, to have our mind changed, and our way of looking at the world and our way of understanding, and a deep appreciation of understanding of spirituality, of Hashem's plan for for ourselves and for the world. This is again called by the Zohar is dapkus rucha barucha, a cleaving of spirit to spirit. And so if a person thinks about this, the Alter Rebbe says you don't have to be waking up your neshama. Just think like an ordinary human being, and you will then have stop thinking about yourself for a minute and about your own situation for a minute. Think about what's happening actually. What's actually happening, therefore, is this relationship with Hashem, and we will be able to have, therefore, the not only motivation to do Torah and mitzvahs, but also the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs for unselfish reasons, for non-personal reasons. We're going to be able to do Torah and mitzvahs simply as a reciprocation, as an act of just being grateful to what Hashem has done for us, not thinking about ourselves for a moment, but for that moment of doing the mitzvah, but rather having that relationship with Hashem. So that is chapter 46. And Mirtz Hashem, next week we will continue with chapter 47. Anybody has any comments or questions, you can always interrupt or not.
Rabbi, but, maybe like two minutes of summary. What do they have to do?
Yeah.
What do we have to do? The summary of the whole thing.
The summary is that we should be extremely, extremely, proud. We should be extremely excited and grateful that we are Jews. And the davening every morning, and I've mentioned this before, davening every morning, we say, Ashreinu, matov chelkenu, v'manoyim goraleinu, v'mayafir, which means how fortunate we are, how wonderful is our portion, how special is our lot, and how sweet is the gift that Hashem has given us. So that's what the Alter Rebbe is basically saying. Be proud of who you are. Be excited for the mission and for the opportunities that we have received to be the entity that not only in the physical world were we chosen, and Alter Rebbe said this in this chapter, not only were we chosen amongst all the other people in the world, but we were even chosen from the angels. The angels are jealous of us. The spiritual world is here. So the physical world is jealous of us. And of course, that's the reason for anti-Semitism. There's no other logical reason. The reason is that what is the strongest motivation is jealousy. And the by the way, the Torah tells us they're only going to be jealous of you, the other people in the world. You're only going to experience anti-Semitism if you don't live up to your mission. If you live up to your mission, then nobody's jealous of the great scientist who's a great scientist. They say, yeah, that person put the effort. Nobody's jealous of the musician who's the great musician. They might want to be like them, but they don't hate them. It's only when a person claims to be a musician but can't play the instruments, claims to be a scientist but doesn't know any more than anything, but I'm a great scientist. So we go around saying we're special, we're Jews, but we don't live up to what makes us special. So the rest of the world says, who are you to say you're more special than me? Why do you think you're the chosen people? But when we act like the chosen people, then of course the rest of the world, the Torah says us, is not going to be helping us. Not only will they not be hindering us. So therefore, we have to be very proud. We have to be very grateful. We have to be very appreciative, and we have to feel really, really special because we are special. And at the end of the day, we have to try to live up. If we could know that we can be as great as the greatest of the sages just by doing a mitzvah, so let's do the mitzvahs. Why not? Your mother tells the child, you're so smart. You could get 110 on every single test. You can get not a 4-point grade average. You can get a 16-point grade average. You can get a 1900 on your SAT. Whatever it is. Why can't you? Hashem telling us the same thing. Hashem says, I've given you amazing stuff. And I just asking, guys, just live up. It says, that we just read it. Alter Rebbe quoted the pasuk. V'hiskadishtem, be holy, Hashem says to us. I am leaving everybody else, every other creation in the world, and I am focusing on you. Just reciprocate. So that is, I don't know if that makes it easier or harder, but that is the 2-minute message. Is be proud of who we are as Jews. Try to motivate our family, our children. And first, you got to motivate yourself, obviously. And do one more mitzvah. Just every mitzvah that we do. Even if we don't do, do whatever you can do. You can only do one mitzvah. Do that one mitzvah. Every mitzvah that we do is a hug from Hashem and a reciprocal. We hug Hashem back.